Well, thank you so much for confirming that, and thank you so much for joining us today to talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program opportunities in Spain. So a good morning from New York City, but we're saying good afternoon to our colleagues in Spain from the Fulbright U.S. Spain Commission in Spain. And my name is Aphrodita Krasnici, and I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Officer based in New York City, working for the Institute of International Education. I hope everyone is doing well today and taking care of each other. And with us here today, we have colleagues from the Spain Commission, and I would like them to say hi to us and just to introduce themselves. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Mantlis. I'm the U.S. Program Officer at the Spain Fulbright Commission.
And Clara?
Hi, everyone. I'm Clara Badiman, and I'm a Program Associate at the U.S. Spain Fulbright Commission.
Thank you, both Kathy and Clara, for joining us today. We have the honor to have with us also two alums, Fulbright U.S. Scholars, who did their program in Spain recently. So, Michael, would you like to say something and introduce yourself real brief?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Michael Freeman. I'm a senior lecturer at the Information School at the University of Washington, and was lucky enough to spend 4 months in Madrid in the tail end of 2019. So I'll tell you a lot more about that, supported by some slides, in about 10 minutes or so.
And Barbara?
Buenos dias, everyone. Wonderful to be with you here today, and I am eager to tell you a little bit more about my project, which was in Alicante, Spain. If you've never been to Alicante, it's on the southeastern part of the country, right on the Mediterranean. Not too big, not too small of a city, so you would love it there.
Thank you so much, Barbara, and we're looking forward to hearing more about your both experiences in Spain, yeah, just recently. So moving on to the presentation, before we talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program application, we would like you to think about the mission of the Fulbright Program and how you're going to incorporate that into your application. Because the program is an international exchange program, it's a flagship program. It was established in 1946. At that time, the Senator J. William Fulbright, with the idea to bring the world together. So the main goal of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is to foster mutual understanding between nations and advance knowledge across communities and improve lives around the world. So think about that as you start your Fulbright application. Basically, it is expected from you, besides your teaching or research, that you serve as Cultural Ambassador of the United States abroad. The Fulbright Program is sponsored by the Department of State, and it is administered here in the U.S. by Institute of International Education, the organization that I work for, whereas overseas it is administered by Fulbright Commissions. In this case, we do have our two wonderful colleagues from the Fulbright Commission in Spain that administer the program on the ground. And also in some other countries, when there is no Fulbright Commission, the program is administered by the U.S. embassies. And these are U.S. government representations abroad. Fulbright program always strives to include diversity in all of the Fulbright applications. So keep in mind that we encourage the involvement of people from traditionally underrepresented groups in all of our grants and programs and other initiatives. So Fulbright has grown so big over these years since 1946 when it was first established. So there are approximately 390,000 Fulbrighters that have participated in the program since that time. And here today we're going to talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which sends around 800 scholars abroad. So we do have other great programs that, like the Fulbright US Student Program, the Foreign Students, Visiting Scholars, and also the Fulbright Language Teaching Assistant Program. So overall, the Fulbright Program funds over 8,000 grantees within a year. So that's a really one of the largest exchange programs in the world. And just so you can see the trend of the awards and what applicants applied, this was from the application cycle 2018-2019. And the majority of the awards were in teaching and research, so combination of both. And then the second most popular is research, doing research only, followed by teaching only. And then we do offer administrative seminars in some other countries and postdoc research, which are also offered in Spain. What does it take to become eligible for a Fulbright US Scholar Program? First of all, you have to be a US citizen in order to be eligible. So we do get this question very often, whether US green card holders are eligible. Unfortunately, not. So they have to be a US citizen in order to be eligible. Then you want to follow closely the award requirements, because every award is different and unique. The degree and the experience they required, whether it's the PhD or other terminal degrees, then we do have opportunities for master degree or MFA degree holders. And then there are so many great opportunities for professionals or artists. Sometimes awards, they do have specific teaching experience required. And for returning Fulbrighters, if you're an alum, you have to wait 2 years from the time you completed your grant before you can be eligible again to apply. So there are no limits to how many Fulbrighters one can get during their career, as long as they meet the two-year waiting period requirement. How do you know if a Fulbright works for you and if you identify the best match? So basically, you go through the requirements, whether they're looking for postdoc, early career, distinguished chair, and independent scholars. So we do offer the flex option, even within the some of the Spain awards offer the flex option. This is an opportunity that allows you multiple visits within the span of 2 years. So you go back and forth in the country within 2 years. And then this way, you don't need to get any sabbatical or leave of absence, etc., and you complete the Fulbright. We do have some regional research awards, like multi-country awards, like we do have the award in Spain and Morocco, or Spain and Greece, that allows you to do the project in these two countries. So keep in mind that we are now recruiting for the application cycle 2021-2022. So this is if the project starts, it would start in the next fall if you're selected. And the application deadline is September 15, 2020. How do you select the right award then? So basically keep in mind the expertise they're looking for, experience, and proposal to the award description, whether this proposal is feasible in Spain, whether they're requiring for you to have the language ability, or whether you know the regional experience maybe might help you prepare for becoming a cultural ambassador in Spain. And then if they do have the preferred discipline in that particular award, that's how you know that you have better chances. And how is this project relevant to Spain, and how will communities benefit from this project? What is the impact that you will have? And pay close attention to the career level that they're looking for. So they're very clear, especially in the Spain awards, to what kind of career level, whether it's open to early career or they're looking more for senior level of scholars. We do have these great opportunities in Spain. There are like 24 awards in Spain, and the most frequent asked question is, my discipline represented? So there are like some awards, some partnership awards with some well-known great universities in Spain, and make sure that they do offer that discipline within that partnership award. award. We do have early career opportunities like the Junior Research Award in Spain, and then if you don't have contacts at the host institution, you can just do a little bit of research and research the website, and usually you would identify a host, a potential host or a collaborator. Usually these are like cold callings. You reach out to the institution, and usually they're responsive. And how do I get a letter of invitation? By establishing this contact, sharing your project idea with them, and see if there is an interest in hosting you. Who pays for my trip? It's, like I said, funded by State Department, and in this case, it is a fully funded program that covers for your living expenses, and also there are some additional benefits depending on the award for family members as well. And here's just a snapshot. You can see like some of the awards from our catalog of awards, but basically you can research them by the whether you want to know like what kind of activity, is it teaching only or research, is it both combined, how long is the project that they're requiring for, degree requirement, etc. So now I'd like to give the floor to our dear colleague, Clara Badimon, who is going to tell us more about these wonderful partnership opportunities in Spain. And just to keep in mind that we will take questions at the end, so make sure you type in the questions in the chat box, and we'll get to those questions at the end of the presentation. Clara, would you like to tell us more about this opportunity at Universidad de Murcia?
Thank you so much, Aphrodita. Yeah, so as Aphrodita has mentioned, there is quite a wide range of different awards in Spain. We offer a total of 24 awards for a total of 34 grants, including our joint awards with Fulbright Morocco and Fulbright Greece. And there are a wide variety of possibilities if you're interested in teaching and or researching in Spain. So the awards offered for the 21-22 academic year, as Aphrodita was mentioning, we do have all disciplines grants, which Dr. Cruz can speak about a little bit later, as that was the award that she was on, as well as many co-sponsored grants in a wide variety of fields, including biomedicine, mechanical engineering, economics, and business, et cetera. I do want to mention that host institutions in Spain can be either public or private universities, as well as renowned research centers in both major and smaller cities in Spain. And I'd like to highlight that, especially as compared to major cities in the United States, the cost of living in Spain is quite affordable. So as a reference, in Madrid and Barcelona are among the most expensive cities in which to live, with housing costs for a studio starting at around 750 euros and family apartments averaging approximately 1,200 euros per month. Smaller cities, however, such as Murcia, which we'll talk about in just a second, and Vigo offer the most affordable options, and housing for a studio apartment can be as low as 350 euros per month. Of course, regardless of the city in which you live, Spain is a relatively small country, and so even if you choose a lesser known or smaller location, you will still have the opportunity to travel throughout the country quite easily. Bear in mind as well that the Fulbright program offers inter-country awards, which would, at the invitation of an academic institution in another country, allow you to visit other regions of Europe. And finally, I do want to mention that in line with the Fulbright program mission, as Aphrodita was discussing just a few minutes ago, in addition to completing the proposed research project and, as applicable, the teaching component of the grant, scholars will also be asked to engage with the host institution community more broadly, likely by giving public talks or participating in seminars. So the first of the four universities we're highlighting today, and this is the first of two universities that are in locations you might not typically visit in Spain, these smaller locations will give you a unique and privileged perspective on Spain and Spanish culture. So the Universidad de Murcia, which is located in the southeast of Spain, is especially characterized by the personal attention they devote to their Fulbright scholars and the familial atmosphere of the university. This university is incredibly excited to have you and will be happy to help you with all aspects related to teaching or research as well as living in Spain. And from the Commission, we can personally attest to this as we held our mid-year seminar this past February at the Universidad de Murcia, and we could not have hoped to work with a more supportive, professional, or kind team at the university. So the Universidad de Murcia was established in 1272 and reopened in 1915. It receives approximately 34,000 students, of which approximately 2,000 are international students, and many of its research groups are working on cutting-edge research projects in their fields. As you can see on this slide, the Universidad de Murcia is offering 7 awards in the 2021-2022 academic year. The first award that we will discuss is in bioinformatics. This is for a 3-month grant in either the fall 2021 or spring 2022 semester. And they are seeking applicants from the fields of biology, chemistry, computer science, information sciences systems, mathematics, or medical sciences, with a particular interest in analysis of omics data, artificial intelligence, biostatistics, genome analysis, high-performance computing, molecular modeling, network modeling and analysis, ontologies and semantic interoperability, and systems biology. The scholar will be expected to teach some of the courses in the Master in Bioinformatics program, and a letter of invitation is preferred for this award. As Afrodita was mentioning, in the catalog of awards, you will be able to see whether or not the letter of invitation is optional, required, or preferred for the award, and please do make sure to check that specification for the award in which you are interested to apply. The second award offered by the Universidad de Murcia is in Biology and Technology of Reproduction. This is for a 3-month grant in either the fall 2021 or spring 2022 semester between September 2021 and April 2022. For this award, the Universidad de Murcia is seeking applicants from the fields of biology, medical sciences, and veterinary medicine with a particular interest in animal science, biology, physiology, and veterinary medicine. This award also has a teaching component, and the scholar will be expected to teach courses, according to his or her experience, in the master's program in biology and technology of reproduction in mammals and the PhD program in biology and technology of reproductive health. A letter of invitation is required for this award. The third award is in business management, and this is also for a 3-month grant in either the fall 2021 or spring 2022 semester. The Universidad de Murcia is seeking applicants from the field of business with a particular interest in management, innovation, business administration, and marketing. The teaching component of this award is to teach or co-teach one or more courses in the MBA program, each with a duration of 5 to 7 weeks. And a letter of invitation is optional for this award. The fourth award is in computer science, also for a 3-month grant. However, it is only offered in the fall 2021 semester. For this award, the Universidad de Murcia is seeking applicants from the fields of computer science, engineering, or mathematics, though there is a strong preference for scholars from the field of computer science. The teaching component of this award is for a maximum of 2 courses in the Master's in New Technologies of Computer Science degree, and each course has a duration of 5 to 7 weeks. A letter of invitation is preferred for this award. The fifth award offered by the Universidad de Murcia is in molecular biology and biotechnology. This is a 3-month grant for the spring 2022 semester, and they are seeking applicants from the fields of biology, medical sciences, or veterinary medicine, with a particular interest in molecular biology, biotechnology, microbiology, genetics, biochemistry, cell biology, plant physiology, and bioinformatics. The scholar will be expected to teach emerging technologies in molecular biology and biotechnology in the master's and PhD programs in molecular biology and biotechnology. The teaching includes theoretical as well as practical lessons, and also the scholar will be asked to assist students with seminars, journal clubs, roundtables, and other such activities on topics related to molecular biology and biotechnology. A letter of invitation is required for this award. The sixth award offered by the Universidad de Murcia is in public health, and this is a 3-month grant for the fall 2021 semester. They are seeking applicants from the fields of biology and public health with a particular interest in epidemiology, biostatistics, or reproductive health. The scholar will be expected to teach a maximum of 2 courses in the Master's in Public Health program, and the specific courses will depend on the scholar's area of expertise. There's also the possibility to supervise students of the European doctoral program in reproductive health at the university. A letter of invitation is optional for this award. The seventh and final award at the Universidad de Murcia is in theoretical and applied linguistics. Now, this is the only award that we are highlighting today that requires sufficient Spanish proficiency to teach in Spanish. All of the other awards do not require any kind of Spanish proficiency, although, of course, in order to better integrate with the host institution and the host community, an intermediate level of Spanish is recommended. Now, this award is for a 3-month grant in the fall 2021 semester, and they are seeking applicants from the field of linguistics with a particular interest in applied linguistics, sociolinguistics, and historical linguistics. As I have mentioned, the scholar will be expected to teach in both Spanish and English, and students will submit their written work and oral assignments in Spanish. The scholar will teach a maximum of 2 courses in the Master's in Theoretical and Applied Linguistics program. And depending on the scholar's area of expertise, the topics of these courses can include language and society, research methodology, and English as a global language. Scholars will also assist with the supervision of doctoral students in the linguistics program on the use of linguistic methods in their research projects. And the letter of invitation is preferred for this award. So as you can see, the Universidad de Murcia is excited to host Fulbright scholars in a wide variety of fields. Slide, please, Afrodita. The next university that we are highlighting today is the Universidad de La Laguna, located in San Cristóbal de La Laguna on the island of Tenerife in the Canary Islands. The Universidad de La Laguna, originally founded in 1701, though its current name was established in 1927, is the oldest institution of higher education in the Canary Islands, and it is a public university with approximately 23,000 students. This university has been making a concerted effort in the past few years to increase its internationalization, and the effort has been quite successful, as the ULL has one of the highest numbers of publications arising from international collaborations with Spanish universities. Of particular note is that the ULL is a Canary Island Atlantic Tricontinental University Center of International Excellence, which means that it is a tricontinental nexus between Europe, Africa, and Latin America for teaching, research, and innovation projects designed to support the transfer of knowledge between academic institutions in the areas of marine maritime science and technologies, astrophysics, and biomedicine, with sustainability as a core underlying theme. The award being offered at this university is in biomedicine, as you can see, and they are seeking applicants from the fields of biology and medical sciences with a particular interest in research projects in the areas of neurodegenerative diseases, neurobiology, and brain diseases. Please note, however, that proposals for medical research involving patient contact are not eligible for consideration. A particular note is that this award is for research only and so does not have a teaching component, which we know is attractive to some applicants. The award is for 4 months in the spring 2022 semester, specifically between January and May 2022, and the letter of invitation is required. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not mention that the city of San Cristóbal de La Laguna is a UNESCO World Heritage Center, and Tenerife is in a privileged location to get to know the Canary Islands on weekends due to the easy connections by plane or ferry to the other 7 major islands of the archipelago. Slide, please, Afrodita. We will now turn to focus on 2 larger research universities located in Madrid, Spain's capital, a large and cosmopolitan city. The first is the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid, a public university and campus of international excellence, which is located in the outskirts of Madrid, slightly to the north of the city. The UAM, as it is known, was founded in 1968 and has approximately 32,000 students. With a heavy emphasis on research, the UAM has connections to some of the most elite research institutions in Madrid and Spain, and is frequently one of the highest-ranked universities in Spain and highly ranked in the world in international rankings. The first award we will discuss today is the Award in Economics and Business. It is important to note that the School of Economics and Business Studies of the UAM is one of the leading economics and business schools in Spain and is one of the largest schools of the UAM with approximately 4,200 students. Of note is that it is ranked among the top 200 economics and business schools in the world by QS World University Rankings. This award is for 4 months in either the fall 2021 or spring 2022 semester, and the UAM is seeking applicants from the fields of business or economics. In the field of business, they have a particular interest in scholars in the fields of accounting, finance, econometrics and statistics, marketing, enterprise management, and data mining. And in the fields of economics, they have a particular interest in scholars focused on mathematical and quantitative methods, financial economics, public economics, education and welfare, agricultural and natural resource economics, environmental and ecological economics, and economic development in developing countries. The scholar will be expected to teach 42 classroom hours to upper-level students in the bachelor's degree in economics and finance or in the bachelor's degree of business administration and management. A letter of invitation is optional for this degree. Award, excuse me. The second award we will discuss is in International Studies. This is a four-month grant in the spring 2022 semester, and the UAM is seeking applicants from the fields of non-U.S. history, international relations, and political science, with a particular interest in the specializations of international relations, political science or political thought, as well as modern and contemporary history. Research projects focusing on European, Latin American, and Spanish politics, including U.S.-EU, U.S.-Latin America, and U.S.-Spain relations, and globalization and its impact on international and national politics, as well as on other connected topics, both from a political, scientific, and from a historical perspective, are encouraged. The scholar will be expected to teach 42 to 45 classroom hours in a maximum of two courses to upper-level students in the bachelor's degree program in international studies. Specifically, the courses Issues in International Politics Today and the United States of America as a Global Power. A letter of invitation is optional for this award. The final award offered by the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid is in pharmaceutical science. Now, this award is for 3 months in the fall 2021 semester, and the UAM is seeking applicants from the fields of medical sciences with a particular interest in scholars in neuropsychopharmacology or cardiovascular pharmacology. The scholar will be expected to teach a maximum of one course or 10 to 20 classroom hours to upper-level students in the Master's in Pharmacological Research program. The specific courses the UAM is interested in having the Fulbright scholar teach include Fundamentals of Physiology and Pharmacology, Methodological Fundamentals of Pharmacological Research, Fundamentals of Experimental Design and Pharmacological Research, Research in Cardiovascular Pharmacology, and Research in Neuropsychopharmacology. A letter of invitation is optional for this award. Slide, please. And now the second large research university in Madrid we will highlight today, and the final university we are highlighting in this webinar, is the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid. The UPM, located in northwestern Madrid, is a higher technical school and also a campus of international excellence. It was founded in 1971 and comprises 14 technical schools with 56 academic departments and 18 research centers. Currently, it is the largest public technological university in Spain with more than 40,000 students. The UPM strives for the creation, development, transmission, and criticism of science, technology, and culture. And to this end, its institutes and research centers are assimilating to the changes taking place in society while also maintaining the university's commitment to excellence, which is why it enjoys both national and international recognition. And I will let our scholar, Michael Freeman, speak more to his personal experience at the UPM this past fall in just a few minutes. The first of the two awards offered by the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid is the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Award. This award is for 4 months, in either the fall 2021 or the spring 2022 semesters. And the UPM is seeking applicants from the fields of business or economics with a particular interest in scholars in, as the title of the award suggests, innovation and entrepreneurship. The scholar will be expected to teach an average of 4 hours per week in the module Innovation and Entrepreneurship, which is offered in the three Knowledge and Innovation Communities, or KICS, master's programs in which the UPM participates, specifically digital, raw materials, and e-health. These master's programs aim to build a strong entrepreneurial education brand via disruptive and systemic change to European higher education, which will help attract top global talent to Europe. And a letter of invitation is preferred for this award. The second and final award offered by the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid is in leadership and business, and it shares with innovation and entrepreneurship. This award is also for 4 months in either the fall 2021 or spring 2022 semesters, and they are also seeking applicants from the field of business. However, for this award, there's particular interest for applications from scholars with research in strategic leadership. The scholar will be expected to teach an average of 4 hours per week in the module Innovation and Entrepreneurship, which is offered in master's programs or executive education under the umbrella of the Leadership and Technology Center at the UPM. Now, I'm seeing that I might be experiencing network connection. I'm not sure if that's posing an issue and you're hearing me correctly right now.
Thank you, Clara. Yes, you're broken sometimes, but I think we could still hear the full sentences. So do you still have technical issues, internet issues? Do you want to continue?
No, now the alert went away. So yeah, I'll finish up. I'm almost done with this last award that we're highlighting today. So while the specific teaching assignment of this award will be agreed upon between the university and the scholar, there is a particular focus on the following subjects: understanding customer needs, strategic analysis of business decisions, business development, financial skills, digital business, digital marketing, leadership, negotiation, conflict management, change management, complex business systems, foreign trade techniques, and international corporate finance. It is worth noting that past scholars have reported that being involved with the activities at the Leadership and Technology Center was one of the highlights of their grant experience here in Spain. And for this award, a letter of invitation is preferred. And so without further ado, I'll turn it over to Mike Freeman, who can talk to us about his experience at the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for highlighting all those opportunities. I'm upset that I have to wait 2 years before I can apply again. I imagine that I'm going to share my screen right now, which will take me just a second. All right, wonderful. Thanks for your patience, everyone. I am Michael Freeman. I was lucky enough to be a senior scholar at the Polytechnic University of Madrid, or the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid, and I'm going to talk to you for the next 5 or 10 minutes about my experience with Fulbright, where I had both a teaching and research appointment, where I was teaching in their Masters of Data Science program and participating in their ongoing research about lung cancer survivorship. So roughly 50% of the appointment was teaching. I was the lead teacher for the data processes course, a first year course in their Masters of Data Science program. It was an internationally targeted program, which meant that about 50% of the students were from outside of Spain. As a result, I was teaching in English. I gave 1 2-hour weekly lecture or class session in which there were various activities and conversations where about 80 participants were present. And I was also involved in developing some of the requirements for group projects that would be completed as well as the exam. This was a bit distinct from my experience teaching in the US, where there was a higher focus on weekly assignments and more sort of ongoing progress check-ins. This was much more heavily focused on the deliverables at the end, which meant on a week-to-week basis, there was a lot fewer sort of requests from students for various questions. I also was a bit of a co-teacher for the data analysis course, a second year course in the Masters of Data Science program, where I led about 4 lectures for a 6-person master's course. It was a bit less firmly structured, and that was about it for the teaching experience. On the research side, I was on a team that was, which was trying to assess how well they could predict the length of survivorship of lung cancer patients at the time of their diagnosis. There was actually a network of collaborators between the university, a hospital that was just about a 5 or 10 minute drive down the street, and this 5-country European collaboration called EASIS that was trying to learn new big data methods for precision medicine. A lot of what my role ended up being was building interactive explanations of various concepts for the cancer doctors, the oncologists, and here's a quick video of an example of what I was trying to explain. So the challenge of prediction is one of classification, in which we're trying to identify each one of these patients as either someone who is a short survivor, less than 24 months, or a long survivor. And of course, if you look more granularly, there is a higher variation month by month of how long each individual survives. When you look across each stage of cancer, those who are at a later stage at time of diagnosis tend to be those that don't survive quite as long. And then sort of at the end of this was creating some interfaces through which the oncologist could selectively interact with that data. So for example, this was really a move towards explaining some of the limitations in the model predictions. Say, if you're trying to use similar patients to predict the length of survivorship, there actually aren't that many patients who are, say, of the same sex and who have the same age and smoking history or smoking status. in participating with the modeling and predictive teams, who are more of the data scientists, there was sort of the exploratory analysis looking at what sort of different patient features were correlated with survivorship over either positively or negatively. And then I was also participating in the building of models for categorizations. You can see here that the observations or the patients represented in the bottom left-hand corner are those who survived fewer than 24 months and were correctly predicted fewer than 24 months. And those sort of in the bottom right quadrant are those who survived more than 24 months and were incorrectly predicted as not surviving beyond that point. So this really helped the oncologists understand some of the limitations in these predictions, where this type of tool was quite accurate for patients who were short-term survivors, but it wasn't great at identifying those who were going to live longer than 24 months. This really helps translate between the data and predictive teams and those teams in the hospitals who are actually using this information. So, highlights from the experience. It was great on a teaching side, working with master's students from various backgrounds, linguistic, cultural, educational, surfacing good questions and conversations in the classroom. The research was really incredible, and this opportunity to collaborate with oncologists, with data scientists, with researchers to approach the same problem and to sort of describe it from different perspectives. And I really enjoyed the distinct role of like translating across those different groups. Through that group, I was invited to a research team meeting in Germany, which is really interesting, where this network of EASIS collaborators from five different countries came together to shed light on their progress and to see how that collaboration was facilitated and to move that research forward and also present some of the work that I had been doing was really interesting. I was also a recipient of one of those inter-country travel grants that Clara mentioned, in which I was invited to speak in Warsaw to the physics department at the University of Warsaw. This email very much looked like a scam at first. It was just a random PhD student who had looked me up on a list of Fulbright grantees. And it turned out to be a really amazing opportunity to go and present some of my findings there and to talk about data visualization in Warsaw. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that a major highlight was living in Madrid. I just absolutely loved the city. It was vibrant. It was alive. It was in motion. And I lived very much towards the city center and found it really, really thrilling and exciting to be amongst so much really wonderful energy and an incredible cultural center and meeting people who are expats and meeting people who are locals and Spanish speakers was really a wonderful experience. And that is really all that I have to share with you. I'm happy to answer some questions at the tail end here.
Thank you so much, Michael, for sharing this wonderful experience as a Fulbrighter in Spain. So now I would like to give the floor to our Barbara Cruz. I'm going to make you a presenter once.
I might have beat you to it.
Yeah, so if you can. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Michael. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Computer specialist. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aphrodita. Are you all able to see my first screen?
I can see it. Let's see if participants can. Probably, yes.
Okay.
Okay, you may go on.
Terrific. Thank you. So, hello everyone again. As you can see by the title of my project, The Art of Teaching, Innovations in Social Studies Teacher Preparation, I am really interested at the nexus of contemporary art and how it can be used in social studies education, specifically in the secondary classroom. So, to this end, I applied for a teaching/research project that had four main purposes. I co-taught undergraduate and graduate courses at the Universidad de Alicante. I also facilitated workshops for practicing teachers at a local high school. Let me see something.
Apologize, we had like a technical glitch. Michael, if you can make, okay.
Yep, I think I just
thank you.
That. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We apologize for the technical issue.
Okay, thank you. And so I worked with practicing teachers at a local high school. And then the research component involved creating an interdisciplinary curriculum that infused contemporary art into social studies education and also investigated teachers' use of contemporary art in their teaching. Let's see if I can... Okay. So at the Universidad de Alicante, I work primarily with colleagues in the Facultad de Educación, the College of Education, as well as the Art Museum on campus. And one of the things that I did just as soon as I got there is that I set up meetings to meet with my new colleagues, to get to know them, to establish that relationship. Oftentimes it would be one-on-one, sometimes in small groups, and they were all very interested in learning more about how in the United States we promote active engagement of diverse learners. So we negotiated, talked about the different kinds of classes that I would be able to deliver at the university, and they shared with me their syllabus and their course calendars, and of course, you know, we worked within that. The thing that I really pulled away from this, and I'd like to highlight for our listeners, is that the opportunity of being a Fulbright scholar, we have to remember, is a two-way collaborative process. So it was an incredible privilege for me to have these syllabi and course calendars and then work into my schedule all the different times that I could go and sit in on my colleagues' classes. So there I learned about how in Spain curriculum studies is approached, pedagogical strategies, and so many of these practices and concepts I have now brought back to the U.S. and I plan to put to use right away when I start teaching again this fall. At the Museo de la Universidad de Alicante, I tagged along with museum educators, and in addition to teaching and presenting workshops on my work to my colleagues, I also tagged along and I attended their workshops that they facilitated for both teachers as well as students. Got to learn their approach for infusing art and social studies. And so one of the things that I had mentioned earlier is that I worked with a local high school. So the Instituto de Enseñanza Secundaria María Blasco was just a few blocks away from the Faculty of Education at the Universidad. And there you can see me on the right-hand side. I am the person in, let's see, second from the left in a red dress. And that is most of the social studies department. They were absolutely wonderful, could not have been more welcoming, more supportive. And one of the first things I did there is I did a needs assessment. I asked them to tell me, how can I support you? What would you like to learn more about? And they identified things like active learning. They identified how to avoid teacher burnout, which seems to be a universal phenomenon amongst teachers. And so I developed workshops that were in support of their needs. Wonderful, wonderful colleagues who invited me into their classrooms. And lots of times I also did guest teaching in their classrooms, working with Spanish teenagers. Who I found out have so many things in common with American teenagers and many things that are different. And they were a lot of fun to work with. I guess what I really wanted to highlight more than even the findings of my project is that the collaboration that occurs, I believe, in a good Fulbright Scholar grant is really the highlight for me of my time in Alicante. My principal contact at the university, on the left-hand side, you'll see her, Professora Maribel Vera Muñoz, was just brilliant in our field, and we often met in the school cafeteria, as you can see us there that day, working on our curriculum, working on our research together. And one of the things that I was able to do before I left Alicante, and I was so grateful that we had an opportunity to do this, is that I went to one of the school's cafeterias, one of their clubs sociales, and you could see there on the right, I hosted a lunch for my colleagues in the College of Education, in the museum, and even a few artists, two artists who are actually at this lunch. So I was able to go to their studios, learn more about their art, did a deep dive, and that really strengthened the curriculum that we have developed. And so our collaboration really does continue. I fully believe and expect these connections to last a lifetime. The curriculum development, it's almost done. I actually had occasion to interact with my colleague Maribel this morning. We have written two manuscripts thus far. One is under review, and one we're putting the finishing touches, and will be going out this week. We have submitted three conference presentation proposals. One has already been accepted for this December in Washington, D.C., and two of my colleagues from Spain are going to come and join me in presenting. And then one has been approved already and accepted for next April in Spain that I also hope to be able to attend. So these connections, these lifetime relationships, I can't say more about them. Every few days I receive emails and texts from my Alicantino colleagues, friends, and even neighbors. Being a Fulbright scholar is one of the greatest joys in our profession, and I just want to wish everyone who is applying the very best of luck in your pursuit.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for sharing such an amazing and inspiring experience that you've had in Spain. Thank you both to you and Michael for your time and dedication to help us understand better your experience, and it looks like it was a wonderful experience. So moving on to understanding how the awards work and how would you identify, again, your best match, because we're getting some great questions related to this. So here's just a screenshot of these awards and how they look like. Generally, they would have these four tabs that I would like you to read thoroughly, each and every one of them, like the award details is the first tab, and then the award requirements, stipend and benefits, and country area overview. So pay some time and a close attention to all of the information provided there, because many of your questions will be answered in these award details, like what is it for? Is it the teaching or research? Is it both combined? Is the letter of invitation optional or required? We do have, in many cases like this one here, economics or business at the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid, where we have even the contact person. You can reach out to them for more information, like just send them your resume and a summarized project idea and see what their take is on this. After just going back to the, again, to the award description, when you see here on the right-hand corner up, begin application process, when you click on this, it's going to take you to the application components. Basically, it's like a checklist of all the required components for you to complete the application. We do even have a sample of project statements, so you want to check those and read those carefully, see what makes a successful Fulbrighter in the project statement. The application is online, and we do require that you also send us your resume. Something new this year, we only require two letters of recommendation, so one should come from your home institution, the second one can come from a person outside your home institution or an international collaborator. For some of the awards, if the language proficiency report is required, you want to attach it, and then letter of invitation if required. If you are applying in the arts or creative writing, architecture, and some other disciplines that require supplemental material, we do have instructions and required formats on how to and what to submit as part of the portfolio. Project statement, again, is the most important aspect, the most important component of your application, where you will describe why Fulbright, why this country, why Spain, how adaptable you are, etc. So you will also answer these questions, and you have like limited characters, and you want to also share this with your colleagues or peers, or even if you know of a Fulbrighter that went to Spain, you want to reach out to them to get their feedback on your project statement. And then if the letter of invitation is required and we do have that information on the award details, you will see also what is this a partnership institution like Clara showed us earlier, and then who should you reach out to them. Sometimes we provide their names and contacts. Sometimes they're not there, but you want to also make sure you check other resources for finding out these contacts. And then keep in mind the letter of invitation is not like a contract, that once you get a great letter of invitation, a great endorsement, that for sure this is like a guarantee that you will get a Fulbright. Because just keep in mind that many applicants reach out to these institutions and might get the letters of invitations. The portfolio for the artists, and in the interest of time, I just want to skip some of the slides. But basically, like I mentioned earlier, the application deadline is September 15. And then after that, there is a whole thorough review process, because keep in mind, this is one of the most prestigious programs for academics and scholars, and that's why they do this thorough review process. The first review process happens in the U.S. by former Fulbrighters, and it's called U.S. Peer Review. They are divided into discipline committees, and they review these applications. After that, if you pass the first review, the application is processed further to the Fulbright Commission in Spain, to our dear colleagues, who will then review your application. And then finally, if you're selected, you will learn by May of next year. Moving on to more information about social media, we do have the presence of Fulbright program in all of these social media platforms, so make sure you follow us in order to keep up to date with what's happening in Fulbright, and also many alumni share their stories, share their pictures while on the program. We have this great opportunity to refer your colleagues, so if you have a great colleague who is also eligible, interested to serve a cultural ambassador abroad and can teach or do great research, you can refer them, and then we will reach out to them directly. If you have any questions, just reach out to us, europeeurasia@iie.org. Now we're trying to get to some of the questions, and be patient with us. We will respond to your questions later on if we are not able to do this today. So we will archive this webinar and we'll save it on our website, but we will also send you a follow-up message with the archived webinar and the PowerPoint presentation. So the first question we have, when applying, do we need to specify fall 21 or spring 22, or do we get to pick once awarded? So basically, usually the award description would have a preference of when you should start. If there is no preference on the time, then you just talk to the host institution in Spain and see what is the best agreement, like if you reach an agreement, what is the best time for you to start. So that's what, you know, makes also a great application, like trying to accommodate the needs of the host institution. For the general application, are there preferred universities? And I would like to call Clara or Kathy from Fulbright Commission Spain to respond to this question if you're still online with us.
Yes, of course. No, from the Fulbright Commission in Spain, we do not have any preferred universities or research institutions, and in fact, we do encourage you to look into perhaps lesser-known institutions, both universities and research institutions. So the CSIC is the Centro Superior de Investigación Científica, so the Superior Research Council, and dependent on the CSIC are a multitude of smaller research institutions, most of which are doing really cutting-edge research right now. And any academic institution would be eligible as a host institution for your grant. So please don't be afraid to get creative with the institution.
Thank you, Clara. So the next question we have, even if a letter of invitation is optional, is it better to get one? So usually it is good to have a letter of invitation even when it's optional, but it's not required, so it's optional. But if you can get the letter, we recommend you get one, because that would be like the endorsement from the host institution in Spain. But sometimes it's not possible, so then you just don't get the letter, and then it's fine. Your application will still be eligible even without the letter when it is not required. Moving on to the other question that we have, usually so many applicants reach out to the host institutions but do not receive any response. So is that, you know, an indication maybe that, you know, there is no interest from the host institution, or like if the letter of invitation is optional, then you just develop your project based on, you know, what you might think this is feasible. So in these cases, when there is no responsiveness from the host institutions, Clara, what is the best approach to this?
I'm going to step in here. This is Kathy from the Fulbright Commission. I think in many cases, especially in the case of a co-sponsored award, the universities prefer not to give a letter of invitation at first, and then they want the Fulbright Commission to send them all the different possible candidates and to make the decision then. And so they don't want any of the candidates to believe that they have a better position than another candidate, so they prefer not to answer any of the candidates. That happens only in some cases. For example, we have awards in La Unisa de Maliga, and they're new. Pretty new. They were the first time we offered these awards was last year, and this will be the second year. We have four scholar awards there, and they prefer not to receive or not to have to give a letter of invitation.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for responding to that. We have another great question. Is it possible to talk with anyone who has been a Fulbright Scholar at the University of Interest before applying? So you can check our Fulbright Scholar directory on our homepage, and we're going to send you all these resources as a follow-up message after this. But basically, we do have this list of alumni, which we call the Fulbright Scholar directory. You can search them up by the home institution in Spain, and even in your discipline, to see if there were any in your discipline, and then just reach out to them. They are happy to help the alumni and the Fulbrighters. Like we heard from both of our alumni in Spain now, they're eager to help you, they're eager to share their experience, and sometimes even get feedback on your project statement. We are going to take one more question because it's 12 o'clock, it's noon here in New York City, and it's also getting late in Spain, so we don't want to keep Kathy and Clara stay for so long. So we, again, are going to send you a follow-up message. So what is the, how does one locate housing on arrival, if Kathy or you, Clara, can respond to this, and then we'll end it with this question.
Yes, of course. So housing ultimately is the responsibility of the scholar to find. However, the home institution very often will be able to provide you advice. Sometimes there is housing available for visiting professors. Sometimes simply through contacts, they'll know someone who's renting out an apartment short term. And in addition to that, from the Fulbright Commission, we do provide all of our Fulbright grantees with extensive resources on just how to search for apartments in Spain, the websites that are most commonly used. We have a list of useful vocabulary for visiting apartments, and so we can point you in the right direction through that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for your attention and for joining us in the webinar to highlight opportunities as part of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program in Spain. And we are going to send you a follow-up message, and we're looking forward to working with you on your application. Feel free to reach out with any questions you have. And please, please stay safe, and we'll be in touch. Thank you so much, Clara and Kathy, for joining us from Spain. And also for our two wonderful alumni, Michael and Barbara. Goodbye, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the day. And again, stay safe. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for having us. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.